Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just to the east of us, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley, and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. I'll be right back to introduce my guest, Skip Allen of Bedford, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. So often, when you want to buy a car or truck, you're told to make sure you get a good deal. So what is a good deal? Is it just the price of the vehicle, or is it something else? At Thomas Chevrolet, we think that a good deal means everything that's important to us. Things like our multi-generational reputation for honesty and integrity, or the free inspection service you get on your purchase after you roll out of here, or the fact that your car or truck has been checked thoroughly by our factory-trained service department to make sure it's safe. Or that we are a family-owned dealership that feels a responsibility to our customers. That's what a good deal means to us. How about you? The next time you need a car or truck, visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru first. We'll show you what a good deal really is.
Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is Alan Sell, Superintendent of the Bedford Area School District, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
I first met Skip Allen at a very gracious party that was given by Charlie Fagan, a neighbor of mine in the borough of Bedford. And in my quest for finding interesting people to talk to in Bedford County, I thought Skip was a gold mine kind of interview. So, Skip, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your taking the time to be abused by me for a few minutes. You're just a great guy, and I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, it's no problem.
Skip Allen lives up here on the hill on Juliana Street in the, the southern part of Bedford Borough.
It's called Juliana Heights.
Juliana Heights. See, I learned something already. I've been here for 12 seconds. This is great. So we're on Juliana Heights in Skip's great big house, and we're going to visit with him for a few minutes. To people here in Bedford, you sound a little different. So we suspect that you might be from the South. Am I correct about this?
Yeah, I think you are. Yeah, I was born in Alexandria, Virginia, and I stayed there most of my life until I married my wife, and then we moved up here.
Well, you told me that when you were a kid, you lived not far from Robert E. Lee's old house.
Yeah, that's correct. Alexandria is right next to Arlington.
Yeah, so that, of course, is where Arlington National Cemetery is
right.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you go to school? Locally in Arlington or Alexandria? Or where?
No, in Fairfax County. Mm-hmm. I graduated from Robert E. Lee High School.
Of course it's called
that. Springfield.
What else would it be called? Where's my head? Right.
In Springfield, Virginia, and that's where we had lived since 1953. We originally lived in Alexandria.
So you went from Alexandria, and I guess you got out of high school. I understand you served in the Navy. So did you go in the Navy right after high school?
Yeah, right after high school. I spent the summer in my father's swimming pool, and then when everybody else went back to school and college, I went into the Navy.
Well, Skip and I found before that we started the program that we seem to have something in common. We are both former Gator Navy sailors, and I'm going to let Skip explain what that is.
Well, the Gator Navy is the amphibs. That's the LSTs, LSDs, landing crafts, small boats, anything that is used in a landing. And I was on LST 1175 for 4 years. And from there, I went on out of the amphib Navy into school. I was selected for the NESEP program, Naval Enlisted Scientific Education Program. And I went to school at the University of Louisville. And when I finished that, I went back to the destroyers. And I was in the destroyer Navy for 3 years and on three ships, one year on each ship. And then I was transferred to the Naval Ceremonial Guard in Arlington, Virginia. It's Anacostia, Maryland. And
these places are all close to each other.
They're all interchangeable. Yeah. Right. And then I went from there into the CNO, that's Chief of Naval Operations, Motor Pool, and that's where I got out with 11 years and 3 months under my belt.
Now, you were a first-class petty officer, and your rating was a signalman, correct?
Right. Signalman first class. I made that, a year after I left the the Gator Navy.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's the guy you see in the movies standing up usually on the wings of the bridge, waving flags or pulling up pennants or sending flashing light messages. And it ain't easy when the wind's blowing.
No, that's it's very challenging. Yeah. And especially on an LST that rolls 45 degrees on a good day, and you're walking on the bulkheads to try to get to the flashing lights.
Well, we're going to swap some sea stories after the program because I also served on LST, but in the Western Pacific, and I always thought mine rolled more than anybody else's, but I think they all equally rolled badly.
I have photographs that.
But yeah, we all have photographs of our inclinometers. That's the device that tells you how bad you're rolling, 35, 40 degrees, whatever it happened to may be. Our guest is Skip Allen, and Skip lives right here in Bedford. And no, he has no official function in Bedford. I just thought he would be a tremendous guest because he has a very interesting, not only military, but also a professional career we're going to get to in a minute. So you get out of the Navy, and then what'd you do?
Well, then I joined the Secret Service on the uniform division. And
now, what is that? I don't think we're familiar with
Well,
that.
Well, the Secret Service is a big organization that's tobacco, firearms, and covers a whole lot of counterfeiting. But there's a small
Is that right? I did not know that. They have counterfeiting. Is that?
Oh, yeah.
They're in charge of that.
Yeah.
Was that one of their original purposes?
Yeah.
Huh. See, most people think Civil Service guys have big guns under their coats and they guard the president. But
that's only a very small portion.
I see.
And in order to serve as in the Secret Service plainclothes division, you have to have a degree in law enforcement.
Right.
And I didn't, so I joined the uniform division, which is the people who sit around the White House in those little white booths that you can see on the sidewalk and who are getting into a lot of trouble these days for letting people jump over the fence.
I got it, right. And I'm not going to ask you about that because you probably have too many friends there.
Yeah, but. I served 8 years in the Secret Service, and basically all at the White House. I took tours for five of those 8 years. I was on the tour detail, which took about 7,000 people a day through the White House.
Now, I have never had this tour, so if you don't mind, I'd like you to explain a little bit about the tour, how it was then, or maybe it's the same today. But let's say I'm an individual citizen that wants to see the White House. What do I have to do to go through to get this done?
Today.
Or even when you did it.
Well, no, it was easier when I did it.
Oh, I say. Go ahead.
Today you have to go through your congressman or your representative.
Oh, so I just can't call up the White House and say, I want to come.
And you get a ticket for a specific day at a specific time. And then you show up and you get in line and then you go through the magnetometers. When I was in the uniform division, you just lined up alongside and went all the way around the block, and you just came into the White House.
Sounds like going to a rock concert.
Yeah, And you got your bags checked as you went through, and that was it. But with the security these days, they don't have these open tours anymore, and you have to go through your congressman.
And there was pictures I've seen of the 19th century where President Grant would walk out onto the front of the sidewalk and actually start shaking hands with the citizens.
Oh, yeah, before the Second World War, you could go picnic on the front grounds of the White House.
You could.
Yeah. Oh. And if you knocked on the door, the doorman would come and take your card, and it would be presented to the president that evening, and you would get a little note back in a couple of days saying thank you for your visit, and we appreciate your
So not doing too much of that anymore, I guess.
No, right? Not anymore.
Okay, so I'm going to go get my congressman, you say, or senator, to set this up. And then I show up, and I get in this line, and then one of these uniformed guys, they do what?
Well, then you go through a magnetometer, and you get your bags checked, and then you go into the house and get in another line. And then you're assigned to a tour detail officer, and he takes a group from anywhere from 50 to 150 people at a time through the White House on the ground and the state floor. You don't go upstairs to the president's residence.
So there's three floors in the White House?
Six.
So the first floor is kind of the public floor, I guess?
Well, the first floor is sort of a passageway between the East Wing and the West Wing. And down there, we have a few public rooms, the library, the Vermeer Room, which are the restrooms for men and women.
I see.
And the diplomatic reception room, which is the south entrance. And then from there, you go upstairs to the state floor, which is the main floor.
Oh, I see.
That's where the red room, the blue room, the green room, east room, the state dining room.
So it's
room
the second floor where...
No, that's first floor.
First floor, okay.
Ground floor, okay. First floor.
Gotcha.
And then the second floor is the president. Second and third floors are the president's and first family's private living area.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two basements.
I see. Gotcha.
So you got six altogether.
Boy. Well, I want you to explain that because I think most people see pictures of it on television but really have no idea what it's about.
It's 132 rooms total.
And if I remember my history correctly, it's been modified and renovated several times. And I guess most recently was Truman, or is it more recently than that?
No, no. The Truman was the grandest.
I see.
We had one other one. The British helped us out on that when they burned it in 1814.
That was called a renovation.
That was a renovation, yes. It was the first renovation. And they rebuilt the house using as much of the original walls as they could at that time. And they were repaired and the interior was replaced. But then Truman came along and had some problems with pianos on the second floor coming down to the first floor, actually.
That actually happened?
It just made the chandeliers on the ground on the state floor wobble back and forth, but it did break through the flooring. And then he had it completely renovated on the inside. Everything was taken out and replaced with steel girders and concrete, and then the rooms were reassembled inside this framework. At the time, the engineer said that the White House was only standing out of tradition. And then it was reopened in 1952, and it was 1948 to 52 was the renovation. And President lived across the street in what's called Blair House. That's the White House guest house.
Gotcha.
And it's been open to the public until, open to the public, like you didn't have to, you could stand in line to get into the White House until 9/11.
Right, and then things
changed. Then it was closed down and everything tightened up, so now you have to go through your congressman.
And now you can't even park in front of the place.
Oh, you can't get within three blocks of it.
Our guest is Skip Allen. Skip Allen is a resident here at Bedford Borough, and as you're learning, he's had some rather expansive experience with the White House, and we're going to tell you in a few minutes exactly what he did after he had this experience as uniformed Secret Service. So when you are in uniform, are you dressed up like a police officer?
Well, you are if you're on the outside post, but if you're on the inside post, you wear a blazer and gray trousers.
I see. So that's kind of your uniform.
Yeah, that's the uniform.
Gotcha. And so how many of these people are actually there doing this, of these uniform
the tours?
People? No, for the uniform police.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I really
lots?
Don't. There's quite a few.
Yeah,
quite a few.
Right.
There's like 15 posts visible at the White House. And there's three sections, so right there there's 45 people.
So do these uniform officers actually give facts and figures about the White House itself? And
oh, absolutely,
what's
going
to happen? Kind of like a tour, docent almost.
Mm-hmm. You come into to the White House on the tour, and they give you a brief history of the White House from the beginning, and then we go through, and you see the four main rooms on the ground floor, the library, the Vermeer Room, the diplomatic reception room, and then you go upstairs. And in each room, the tour officer will stop and give you some information about the room and some of the furnishings and what's in there, what's happened in there in the past, and probably what is going to happen in the future, the near future.
Our guest is Skip Allen of Bedford, and we are speaking to him about his experiences working in the White House, that is, the White House. And when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about the usher service, which is where he retired from his career, as Bedford County Speaks continues.
You got a minute? I want to tell you a story. Have you heard about Destination Delco? We're great bars and restaurants. We're ethnic neighborhoods. We're the main line and the brandy wine. We're different things to different people. We're a little brassy, but oh so classy. We're main streets and back roads, marinas and museums. We're nightlife and, yes, wildlife. We're Destination Delco, a new way to experience Delaware County.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
Our guest this morning is Skip Allen. Skip Allen is a resident of Bedford Borough, but he emigrated here about 13 or 14 years ago from the Washington, D.C. area. So after you left the uniformed service, you became a part of the usher's service. Is that
usher's
what it's called?
Office.
Usher's office. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me what that is.
Well, after 8 years in the Secret Service, I found out that someone was leaving in the usher's office, which is at that time, so you sort of lived your whole life in the usher's office, and when you died or got sick or something, and then somebody came and take your place. I applied for it and was
it's kind of like being, it's yeah. kind of like being a senator from North Carolina. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I guess so. And the usher's office is, well, the best way you can describe the usher's office is if you think of the White House as a hotel with one guest, and that the usher's office is the general manager of the whole hotel.
Gotcha.
Because the usher's office does everything for the first family that they need done. We oversee the collection of furniture and paintings in the White House. We oversee the 18 acres of grounds that are inside the black fence. It's sort of the clearinghouse for all actions in the White House. We had a sign down in the lounge. It said headquarters, Mission Impossible. The hard is immediate. The impossible takes a minute.
This is interesting because I know that we've seen reports over the years of citizens and dignitaries who want to give things to the White House. They want to give them a painting, or they want to give them a bust, or they want to give them a picture, or they want to give them a rug or a chair or something. Does that go through that office?
No, that goes through the White House Historical Association.
Okay.
They have the gift unit, and they can accept, based on certain criteria, it's got to have White House history.
I see.
It's just not anybody can say, well, here's a painting and, you know, or here's a chair that Uncle Joe said was in the Oval Office, but they go through the records and find out it's not, then they can't accept it.
All right, so conversely, if I'm sitting here in the dining room table in your home, if the dining room table's foot breaks in the White House, then it's your job.
Absolutely, yes.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's usually paid for by the Historical Association.
Oh, really?
Yeah. While we're on topic of tables,
yeah.
I was the one who designed the state dining room table.
Ah. So where is that? Is that
that's in the state dining room on the state floor, where you see the president having big dinners and all the guests come in. When they have a buffet, they use this big table that I designed. It's in there on regular days when they have tours.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss came in one day and said, Skip, I have a project for you. Do you think you could design a table? And I said, sure. I'd never done anything like that before. But I said, okay, I'll do it. And
that was part of the impossible
thing.
Yeah,
that's part of the impossible. It took nine months.
Oh, gosh.
Just like a baby. And it was delivered to the White House. And it's in the state dining room now.
So what's different about it? I mean, you can get a table anywhere. So what,
oh, yeah. Well, when I made up these designs, I went to the major furniture companies, Hendradon, mm-hmm. all those people, and they said, oh, we have a beautiful table of our own, we'll just expand the size. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I want mine. And so that's how it got done. And its design is taken from elements around the state dining room.
I see.
Architectural elements in the paint, in the paneling and over the doorways, and I incorporated all into the table. There's three side tables that were done during the Theodore Roosevelt administration, and I took designs from those and incorporated into the table so that it would all
So this is up. A completely custom table for this specific
room. Yes, because there was never one in there. Right. It was all used by antique tables.
I see.
But they proved less than adequate.
They probably couldn't hold things up.
Barbara Bush was taking a tour through the White House before a reception, and it was a Russian tour, and one of the Russian guests sat on the edge of the table while it was being...
Your table or someone else?
No, this was the original, the antique tables, and broke the pedestal, and everything went sliding to the middle, and that's when, just after that, I got asked to do a state dining room table, and I made sure that it was heavy enough so someone could sit on it and not...
All right, question of the hour.
Yes.
Do Russians get embarrassed?
I'm sure that he did, because he broke the table.
He broke the table in the White House.
As you're going through the White House, get back to the tours.
Yeah.
You go through the rooms, and each of the tour officers has their own set of things that they like to talk about. And so once you come through the White House once, you get a different tour the next time, because each one is individual.
Sure.
And when I was on the tours, we had checks to make sure that everything you were saying was accurate. But I'm not sure how they work that today.
You told me that you have a lot of stories about the White House. You can't do some of them because it'd be out of school. But you said there's one in particular that you liked.
My first experience of being an usher, I went to the usher's office in the year 1980, when Carter was just leaving and President Reagan was being inaugurated in 81. And my first duty as a new usher was a night section, because nothing very much happened on night sections. And I got a package, and it was for the president, eyes only, so I had to take it up myself to the president. And
I'm sorry, explain that to everyone's listening.
Oh,
eyes only means what?
Eyes only means only the president can look at it.
Gotcha.
So I get this folder, and it says eyes only on it, and I take it in my hands, and I go upstairs to the second floor.
So you're not talking about your eyes. You're talking about his eyes.
His eyes. Okay. Go to the second floor where their living quarters is, and I asked the steward who was running around on the floor. I couldn't see anybody. He said, I asked him where the president was, and he says, right in there. So I went in there, and I knock on the door. And I'm new to the White House, second floor, because I very seldom got up there. And I heard the voice. I said, who's there? And I said, it's Mr. Allen from the usher's office. I have eyes only for the president. And he says, come in. Well, he was just getting out of the shower. And all he had on was a coat of water. And, I'm looking all around saying, here, Mr. President, here's your eyes on me. And he makes me turn around, and he signs it on my back. And I go back down to the usher's office again. And a little bit later, another one comes over for him. So I take that up to the second floor, and all the lights are out. And there's a light in the bedroom. So I knock on the bedroom door, and Mrs. Reagan is in bed. And she says, who's there? And I tell her, Skip Allen from the usher's office. I have something for the president. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, come in. And as I was coming into the room, the president was coming out of the dressing room in his underwear. And Mrs. Reagan says, oh, Ronnie, you could at least put on a robe. And he called her mommy. He says, okay, it's okay, mommy. He says, he's already seen me naked once tonight. We're all friends. That was my best time. And then since then, he's been my favorite.
You beat me to it. I was going to ask you, because I've heard this over and over from people who have had some contact with President Reagan. They said that he was a human in addition to being a president.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He never came – well, when he moved from the West Wing Oval Office into the White House, there's a little buzzer that goes off and all the place goes three buses. Mm-hmm. And you know he's coming. And former presidents, you had to hide. You had to get out of the way. You didn't want to see anybody. But when President Reagan came through, he stopped at every post, every person he saw, and he would greet them by name if he knew them. And if he had a minute or two, he would tell a story. And he had the most fascinating stories that he would tell anybody anytime he could. And Mrs. Reagan was exactly the same way. She was a nice, sweet, wonderful person, and she got bad press. And she was fine as long as she had one rule: do it my way. And if you did it her way, you were fine. You had no problem. But don't mess with her.
Well, why do you think they call them first ladies?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
she's entitled.
It's their house. They do it their way. Place. And the usher's office is the main conduit that the president has to the public. The first family decides what flowers go in the rooms, how the flower arrangements are going to be made, how the tables are going to be set. And so it's really their house. And we are just, in the usher's office, we're just the managers of it.
But you get to interact with them every day.
Oh, every day.
You're almost like a concierge, aren't you?
Yeah, put them to bed, get them up.
Right. And I heard the same is true, at least the same opinion of her was true about Barbara Bush.
Oh, I love Barbara Bush.
She was a very nice person. Is a nice person.
There was the Gulf War.
Yeah,
was supposed to go a big thing over in the Middle East, right. And I thought, well, I'll start a rug, and I started needlepointing a rug, and the war lasted 3 months. The rug lasted 3 years, and Barbara Bush was constantly checking up on me to make sure I was still doing progress on the rug. And we went up to Kennebunkport one time and on invitation from the first family, and she wanted me to bring the rug with me so she could see what was going on.
Do people change when they come into that White House, do you feel, or some do and some don't?
I think no president comes into the White House looking younger than he left.
He sure doesn't. We've noticed that.
They come in with dark hair. They leave with gray hair. It's a grueling job.
Today, we have a different White House. We have a White House that's more secure, a White House that's probably a little more walled off from the public than it used to be. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see a time when this actually might be reverted to what it was, or is there no hope for that, you think?
I'm not sure.
Okay, one final question. When I first talked with you, you said that the staffing of the White House has absolutely exploded.
Oh, absolutely.
You said that when you were there, I mean, there were a few ushers, and now you tell me there's a crowd of ushers.
Right.
Is this all part of this expansiveness that's happened to government in general, or just this particular thing?
I think so. When I was there, there were three assistant ushers and the chief usher and an administrative assistant. And now, from what I hear, I have had little experience since I left. There's a chief usher, secretary, administrative assistant,
right.
And there are nine assistant ushers.
Triple.
Yeah, three times. I didn't realize I was so overworked. I did three times as much job as they do today.
Now, your title was chief usher?
No, mine was just usher.
Your usher, okay.
Gotcha. Chief usher at the time that I went up there was Rex Scouten.
Got it.
And he retired, and Gary Walters took over from him.
Skip Allen, you have been fascinating. I didn't expect any less, but this has just been tremendous. I could talk to you for hours about this, and you've really been a great sport. I want to thank you very, very much for doing this. I really appreciate it very much.
It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed every minute.
I didn't even get a chance to ask you why you moved to Bedford, but we'll just suffice to say that you came here because you liked it.
I came up kicking and screaming because somebody I worked with in the Secret Service told me it would be good to live up here. Loved it from the minute I saw it.
Me too. Thank you very again. I really appreciate it. Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. If you'd like to hear today's program again, just visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.
This is Lloyd Roach. On behalf of all of us at Bedford County Speaks, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.